If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of Acts. We will be primarily in Acts chapter 8. We will spend some time looking back at a couple of previous chapters, but primarily our focus is going to be in Acts chapter 8 as we talk about whatever it takes, reaching the one. That is the theme for the 2013 Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And today I want to thank you for supporting the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And I hesitate in telling you this, but I want to say thank you because we have reached our goal. But my only hesitation is because we're going to continue on through the end of April. And so I want to thank you, but I also want to encourage you to continue to give monetarily, to give through your prayers and in any way possible that you can think to support our missionaries who are serving in North America and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to many, many people who need to hear it. Our missionaries need our monetary gifts. They need our prayers as they continue to work to reach an estimated 260 million lost people in the United States and Canada. 260 million lost people. That's 3 out of every 4 people in the United States and Canada. I know for those of us who have grown up in the Bible Belt of America, that is hard to imagine. But friends, there are millions upon millions of people who are lost and that need Christ, that need hope, that they need to know that there's more to life than what they are experiencing on a day-to-day basis. They need to know that they're loved. What they really know, or what they really need, is Jesus Christ. Today, we need for the faithful followers of Jesus Christ to do whatever it takes to reach the one. I'm going to ask, if you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 8, to the Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to ask, if you would, please stand as we read from God's Word. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, the Word of God says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I? Unless someone guides me. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. And we ask, dear God, that you would open up our minds and our hearts to your word. Father, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we just pray, God, for a mighty moving of your spirit through your word, Lord, your blessings. May it bless those who hear, and may we all respond. In Jesus' name, amen. We learn in the book of Acts that Philip was a devout believer who was committed to Christ and to obeying God's call upon his life. In other words, Philip was one of those individuals, one of those believers who was willing to do whatever it takes to reach the lost with the life-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the Ethiopian in this passage that we just read, he was seeking the truth. He was seeking to understand the word of the prophet Isaiah. And you see, on the one hand we have Philip, on the other hand we have the Ethiopian, and in the midst of it all we see God working in the life of both of them. God is working in such a way to set up, if you will, a divine appointment where the Ethiopian and Philip would meet, their lives would intersect with one another. And because of this divine appointment, one life is going to be changed eternally. In fact, Philip would have a brother in Christ. Beloved, I want to tell you the commitment Philip had, the commitment to do whatever it takes to get the gospel to one who needs to hear the gospel, is the commitment that our North American missionaries had. And it should be that with that same commitment should be the commitment that you and I, every believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, should have as well. You know, as we read the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts, you'll notice that Luke has a unique way of writing. I really enjoy reading Luke's writings. You know, oftentimes he will mention someone just ever so briefly in one chapter, and then just another chapter or so later, he brings this person in and begins to open up their life to us so that we can learn something about them and really teach us something through their lives. I think one of the best examples was when Stephen was being stoned. At the end of Acts chapter 7, Luke notes that the clothes of those who stoned Stephen were laid at the feet of a young man named Saul. And then it just goes on to conclude the story of Stephen being stoned and his life, giving up his life as he sees the Lord standing in heaven. And there in in chapter 7, he comes back and he begins to tell us about Saul. And indeed, in the next several chapters, we learn so much about Saul. We learn that he even at some point becomes the Apostle Paul. You see, as Luke did with Saul, he also does with Philip. Philip is mentioned in Acts chapter 6 as being one of the seven of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And he was one of the seven who would serve the church and meet the needs of the people, somewhat like a deacon would serve in our church today, even though they were not called deacons. But he was one of those seven who was selected by the apostles to serve the needs in the church. And then later on in chapter 8, Philip is mentioned again. And I think, and me personally, I believe he's mentioned very early. In fact, I think he's mentioned in Acts chapter 8, verse 2, where it just mentions that the devout carried Stephen, if you will, to the grave. And even though it doesn't list those people who carried him, I think as I read that chapter, I think that he may have been one of those who carried Stephen to his burial, but at the very least was one who was there for his burial. But anyway, Luke tells us that after Stephen's death, great persecution arose against Christians and began to scatter everywhere preaching the word. We find that in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And then Acts chapter 8, verse 5, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria, which was north of Jerusalem. And there he begins to preach Christ to them, that is, to the Samaritans. Yes, that's the same Samaritans who were hated by the Jews. But friends, can I tell you, just as we saw in the example that Elton gave us a while ago, you know, while there are some that we may see as undesirable, maybe even unfit, or maybe just somebody we're just not comfortable around, God sees them as someone that He loves, that He's willing to do whatever it takes to work in someone's life to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, The Samaritans might have been hated by the Jews, but they were not hated by Jesus. Nor were they hated by Philip. Philip goes there and he shares God's love and brings glory to God as he works mightily in the name of the Lord, casting out demons and healing the sick. And we see that God blessed his work in the people of Samaria, chapter 8, verse 8. And there was great joy that swept through the city. In other words, he went down to that city from Jerusalem, headed north into Samaria, and he took the word of God and he began to speak the word of God, to preach the word of God, and miracles were being done, and revival breaks out, and there's great joy among the people who had been looked down upon generation after generation by the Jews. Now they're coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and there's great joy in that city. Things are going well. But God, God had even more in mind for Philip, didn't he? God was going to take Philip to reach one specific person. A high-ranking Ethiopian eunuch, a man appointed by Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. What do we know about him? Well, just from what we read in these verses here, he was obviously a man of integrity. He was a man who could be trusted over the finances, if you will, of Candace's kingdom, if you will. But we also know, as we read that passage of Scripture, that he was a worshiper of the one true God. Because there in verse 27, we see that he's on his way home from Jerusalem, where he had been doing what? Where he had come to worship. Now, we don't know how he came to be a part of the Jewish faith, but we do know that he had traveled a great distance to Jerusalem to be able to worship. And now on his way back home, verse 28, this Ethiopian eunuch is riding in his chariot and he's reading the words of the prophet Isaiah. So you see, in this passage of Scripture, we have this rich government official headed back home. He's headed north, back to the desert, if you will. And Philip, who's the preacher of the word, he's headed south. He's heading up to Jerusalem. And there they meet on the desert road. Friends, this was a divine appointment. In the life of Philip, in the life of the Ethiopian, a divine appointment. God is at work in the life of these two. And in verse 26, we see Luke tells us that God sent a messenger to Philip. And I just love this passage of Scripture, verse 26, verse 27. And it says that God sent a messenger, an angel, to Philip and gives him the word. He says, "Arise and go." And I want you to notice what is said next about Philip. So he arose and went. Friends, I would to God that it were that simple for you and me. God says go. So we get up and we go. You know, Philip didn't try to negotiate like we might. I mean, he didn't tell God that if he's just leaving there in that wonderful ministry that he's kind of built up there in Samaria and comfortable in that fellowship and ministering and growing in that church, things are going well. Lord, if you just leave me here, I'll be faithful to serve you my entire life. Lord, I'll tell you what, I'll even increase my Annie Armstrong giving. I'll even increase the Lottie Moon offering. I'll even increase the cooperative program giving. Now, he didn't negotiate. He didn't say any of those things. What does it say? He said, so he went. Well, bless God. May his tribe increase. Amen. He was obedient to God's call upon his life. Philip's faith in trusting God was complete. He was ready to go whenever and wherever the Lord sent him. He was willing to leave the multitude just to reach one individual. To leave the 99 to go after the one. Friends, I want you to see that even just one believer can make a difference in the life of another person. When that believer is willing to do whatever it takes to impact the kingdom for God. So Philip is heading south, heading up to Jerusalem. And down on the other side, heading in the opposite direction, here comes the Ethiopian. They're drawing closer to one another. The Ethiopian is reading and seeking the understanding of the Word of God. He's opening up the prophets. He's opening up Isaiah. And he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip encounters him. He runs up to him. Friends, can I tell you, Philip is intentional. He initiates the contact, if you will, the encounter. He's eager to get there. He's eager to obey and to do what the Lord has called him to do. He runs up to him. One is seeking to know the truth of God's Word. The other holds the key to the understanding of God's Word. And these two men meet each other on the road at this time. And let me just read that encounter to you. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And this is talking about the Ethiopian was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, and don't you just see this? Remember this. Here is Philip, heading in one direction. Here's the eunuch heading another direction. This man has a need. This man holds the key. And he didn't just pass by and say, "God bless you, I'll pray for you." He spends time with him, opens up the Word of God, explains the Word of God to him, gets in the chariot. They're riding down the road. You know, sometimes God interrupts our schedules and our plans, and we need to get on board. But here he is. And now they went down the road, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart," we're talking about believers' baptism, friends, "if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip tells him about Jesus. Then he baptizes him. Believer's baptism, an outward sign of an inward change when someone believes. Faith indeed comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this Ethiopian eunuch in faith believed in Jesus Christ. because Philip was willing to do whatever it takes to reach one. Friends, our Southern Baptist missionaries are like Philip. They have responded to God's call upon their lives to do whatever it takes to share the gospel with lost and dying people. Our missionaries believe it's worth their effort. It's worth their lives to go out into the world and reach every man, woman, boy, and girl with the gospel of Jesus Christ before it is too late. And if you're a believer, you too are called by God to seek out the lost. Your mission, my mission, our mission as a church is to arise and go to the highways and byways to compel them to come in to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Indeed, my friends, we need more Philips in the church. We need more Philips in the world today. People who believe and people who are willing to do whatever it takes to reach someone else with the gospel. And let me just tell you, friends, whatever road God leads you down, know that there are going to be people on that road that you're going to encounter. People who are searching. There's going to be people who are without hope. There are going to be people who do not know what love is. They're searching for love. They're searching for hope. They're searching for meaning and purpose in life. And ultimately, my friends, they're searching for Jesus Christ. So we must pray. We must pray for those that are in our communities and in our neighborhoods. I read something just a few moments ago from Billy Graham's ministry. If you take 100 people on average, if you live in a neighborhood where there's 100 neighbors, this is what you would find. Statistically, this is what you would find. 7 of your neighbors struggle with depression. Some consider suicide. 17 abuse or are addicted to drugs or alcohol. 14 feel crippled by fear and anxiety. 8 struggle with the loss of a job. 3 grieving the death of a loved one. And 60 don't profess to know Christ as their Savior. We must pray. We must give, and we must go. And above all, friends, we have to do whatever it takes to reach one. Will you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, open our eyes to that field that is wide into harvest. Father, open our eyes to the neighbors and to the friends and the people that we see on a daily basis. And help us, Father, not to pass them by as our lives intersect with one another, but to hear, to listen to the words that they speak. Because, Father, there are people that are hurting. There are people who are without hope. People who are searching and reaching out to find love and purpose and belonging. God, help us when we intersect with their lives, Lord, to slow down and to walk with them, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to offer them hope, to offer them love, to offer them the gospel and an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, that we might do whatever it takes to reach one. Father, I pray to that end that Father will not be too busy. Not too tuned out to those around us. God, that you would make us sensitive through your Spirit to sense and to understand what is going on, to slow down, to share the message of hope and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would be with our missionaries who are serving you across North America today. Father, I pray that your needs are met. I pray that their ministries flourish. And I pray, Father, for the lives that they are touching today. Lord, that their souls would be saved and that your kingdom would grow. Father, help us. Help us today to do whatever it takes to reach the one. And that one today, Father, may be one that is here that does not know you. And Father, I pray today that maybe they've identified with the Ethiopian. Maybe they're seeking and searching to find love and to find an understanding to the Word of God. And I pray, God, that Father, through your Spirit, Lord, the Word has come forth clearly, and Father, the gospel has been heard. And Father, today I pray for the salvation of that one who may not know you. And I pray, God, that this would be a glorious day as one is added to the kingdom, to your kingdom. Father, may we do whatever it takes. If it means, Father, just coming and kneeling at the altar this morning, offering ourselves to you, to go whenever and wherever, to whomever you may send us. Father, may we see the value in all people. May we see them as you see them. And may we love them and care for them the way that you do. Father, everyone is worth it. Help us to do whatever it takes to reach each and every one. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Friends, this morning in this time of invitation, this time of commitment, I'm going to ask you to do whatever it takes to begin to put yourself where God wants you. To do whatever it takes to have an eternal relationship with Him. I mean, and I'm talking about faith, my friends. I'm not talking about words. I'm talking about just coming to Jesus and asking Him to come into your heart and into your life. I'm talking about recommitting, rededicating your life to Him. I'm talking about uniting with this fellowship and serving here and doing what God is leading you to do to reach those who need it most. Or are you willing to do whatever it takes? You answer the question and you come and God leads you this morning. As we stand and sing our song of invitation, you come. I need thee every hour. Will you come this morning?